Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates?
Hey.
Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, podcast about trees and other related topics.
Jeez, Alex, slow it down a little bit.
Sorry.
My God.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I'm being a bit virtuous.
Yeah, you are. Gosh. Yeah. Going at normal speed.
I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson.
I'm another one of your hosts. I'm Casey Clapp, and today, just feeling sloth-like.
Now, we got to be careful with this.
You're right. I'm not actually climbing a tree upside down growing mold on my back.
Although you do have giant 6-inch talons for nails.
Don't get close. I'll swipe at you quickly, in my opinion.
Right. At a quarter mile an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Great. It's just lovely.
Love me a sloth.
It's just a slow motion fight with a bird going 1,600 miles an hour. Sloths are...
Sloths are, I feel like, you know, when people have like a favorite animal.
Yeah.
Sloths are a common favorite animal from what I've seen.
That's quite topical today, in fact.
Casey, we're talking about sloths and we are acting sloth-like today because this is our second of 7 deadly stems.
Correct.
In the series in which we will talk about the 7 deadly stems. And this one is sloth. Was that described well?
I think so, yeah. And that's... all right, you listen, everyone. The jig is up.
Oh.
The news is out. They finally got us. Yes, we were going slow and lazily because today, our second of our 7 deadly stems...
That's right.
...is sloth.
Sloth.
Yes.
And if you're unfamiliar, it's named after the animal, I'm sure, or the animal is named after it. Sloth means to be lazy and slow...
Yes, and it's essentially the sin that is you're just not contributing to society.
Right.
I'm fairly positive.
Yeah.
So if you don't work, you're being sloth-like, and that is anti-Christian, I think, really. Because I think this all comes down to more or less a Christian kind of moral dogma.
Essentially what it's saying is if you're anti-industry, you're going to hell.
So
shovel that coal.
So if you don't go fast enough. Yeah, I think we're talking about a tree today.
That's right, Casey. We're talking about sloth in the context of a tree, and that tree is the weeping willow.
That is exactly right.
When I saw that we were talking about this tree, I could not believe we hadn't covered it yet. It seems like one of the top 5 trees.
I also kind of thought that.
Yeah.
I had to think back. Like I was actually researching, and I was like, God, have we done this tree? Oh my God.
It feels like we should have.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we saved it for this, Case.
Me too. We haven't done it. We have done the peach leaf, I believe. Or rather, the black willow.
Yes, the black willow.
Salix nigra.
Uh-huh.
But I don't believe that we have really talked about this one. And if we have, well, we're going to talk about it in a different way.
I'm very excited, Casey. But we got to do so after a very leisurely break. We will be right back with Completely Arbitrary, if you're lucky. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work. Because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so, like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods. And I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited I am. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after your purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates. Sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring! Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the Weeping Willow. This is probably Salix. Salix triste.
Ooh, wait, why did you choose that?
Triste means sad in Spanish.
Does it really?
Yeah.
That is like so fantastic.
What is the actual scientific name, Case?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it, but there is one version of the tree we're talking about is Salix alba, which is essentially the white willow.
Okay.
And the cultivar name, like the essentially what it is, because the Salix alba that everyone knows is a normal upright growing tree, but the one with really intensely weeping stems is Salix alba tristis.
Aha!
Look at you. That was perfect.
How about that?
Yeah. This is just getting better and better.
Wow, what a great start.
Yeah, well, that is one scientific name. Now, I say that because there is another that many people are familiar with, and they would call it Salix babylonica.
Babylonica, I'm assuming after Babylon.
That is correct, yes, because that is where ye old Linnaeus thought that it was initially from.
Interesting.
Again, we'll discuss that.
So old that he was around when Babylon was still a thing.
Right? Yeah. He actually spoke every language.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Casey, nice. Let's imagine that you and I, along a nice riverbank, perhaps we're in the south of America. Maybe Louisiana, maybe Alabama.
That sounds great.
And we come across a beautiful weeping willow. Casey, let's ID this tree. And you know what, Case? Yes, one of my earliest memories closely associated with a tree was my father is from Alabama. His mother died when I was but a boy. And we took a trip to Alabama. And I remember two things from this trip. One is my cousin stuffing his face with Hardee's hash browns and throwing up on the table.
Oh, God.
Which made me throw up. And the other is the weeping willows, which I thought were like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. They were just like in their backyard.
Yeah. I have not seen these specific kind of trees I've seen plenty, but I have not any association with them specifically in the South or in Alabama.
Oh, interesting.
Good to know.
Okay, there
you
go.
But it's very curious to have you say this. We are going to describe this, Alex, and this is probably going to end up, unfortunately, bleeding into kind of what we're talking about a little, and I think it'll make sense as we do it.
That doesn't seem unfortunate.
Well, usually we like to do, you know, this and then the next, you know?
Sure.
But this is the next.
Ah, fun.
Yeah.
You sound like Tim Cook at the Apple new product launch.
And it's patented.
Usually we do this, then that. But today, this is that. Introducing the iPhone 15.
Oh my God.
I think that's already out. Yeah, all right, probably. Case, let's do it.
All right. So here's the situation. We are talking right now about Salix babylonica.
Okay.
And we're talking about that right now because you specifically put us in a lovely little town in Alabama, which is in the south. And is generally speaking far warmer than, let's say, the north. And I say that. Alex is like, okay, this computes. I'm panicked because it seems too simple.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little too simple. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, something's afoot here. Well, it turns out that there is a big, I don't even know how to put it. Controversy isn't quite the right term, but there's a lot of questions about how exactly these trees are related. All the weeping willows, if they are the same species, if they're different species,
oh, wow.
or if they're like hybrids or something else like that.
This is another ponderosa pine controversy.
Oh, God, this is way worse than that.
Oh, no.
So we are going to just...
I got to go.
Yeah, sorry, Alex. I have good news for you. Just sit back. Act like a sloth and just hang out.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
I wish I could total recall these episodes. So it feels like I did work when I didn't.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Yeah. So is that like the movie Total Recall?
Yeah.
You just feel a certain thing?
They implant memories. You go on, you know, they'll implant vacation memories and things.
Oh, God. I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't think I've seen the movie. So the situation is the Salix Babylonica is what we call the Weeping Willow.
Yes.
It's a big tree. It usually gets about 30 or 40 feet. Generally, it's about 12 meters tall. So it's a good sized tree.
Sure.
But they get really rounded crowns, right? That's what they're famous for, is these huge, big, they almost look like cumulus clouds a little bit to me. But they're, of course, yellow or a yellowish green most of the time.
You know, to me, they look a bit like sheepdogs. Like,
yes, totally.
Which ironically are, I don't think, are sheepdogs, but the specific breed sheepdog.
Oh.
Not like a working dog.
Yeah, it's because they look like sheep. They're not like sheep herding dogs.
Correct.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And they have these big mops of hair. The weeping willow always reminds me
of
that.
Yeah, totally. I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
Now, I say 40 feet, but like they can get way bigger in terms of height. Apparently, the national champion was in 2018 was 95 feet tall.
Damn.
And 93 feet wide. That's a huge
tree.
Wow. Like, that's giant.
Almost 100 feet wide.
Yeah. So just 50 feet to the left, 50 feet to the right. It's just wild.
Damn.
So big, big trees. Now, they get these really incredibly stout trunks. So you're walking up to them, and specifically, Salix babylonica will have a very yellowish, greenish color to it. And all these long twigs are hanging down off of it, very much like the sheepdog kind of a peel.
Yeah.
But if you walk a little closer, what you'll notice is that they have massive, big, contorted stems.
Oh, wow.
Where they are really wide. They look a lot like the Weeping Willow, Grandmother Willow from Pocahontas.
Sure.
Where the spiraled grain goes up and then splits off into branches.
Mm.
So it almost looks like it's almost like a twisty tie that's like split at the top.
Totally.
And then it lets out these massive big limbs that go big and they curl around themselves again. They curl, just twist, and then they send out these shoots, these little tiny twigs that just kind of go bleh, and then just grow straight down.
Wow.
And it's really like a fascinating, it's almost mesmerizing, I guess, when you see them.
It's almost juniper-esque.
It kind of
the form, not the foliage, obviously.
Yes, only the stem.
Stem,
you mean?
Yeah.
It's totally the case, except like three times or four times bigger. They can get like 5-6 feet in diameter.
Damn.
Yeah, really massive, massive trees. And on top of that, they have branches that kind of grow outwards and down, send out these shoots that are just like these giant pendulous things. So they kind of get this big puff on one side, this big puff on the other side, and then this big top portion. So they kind of like, I said cumulus cloud earlier. Those are the big white ones that look like storm clouds.
Yeah.
They just look like kind of bumps on top of bumps on top of bumps, like big poofs.
Totally.
And that's what this kind of ends up developing only when it gets really old.
Okay.
Because when they're young, they kind of look like normal trees for all intents and purposes.
More willow-like.
Yeah.
It's your basic black willow.
Exactly. Have these... Yeah. Wow. It's very basic, the black willow.
I feel like it's very type species.
I think that's good. I think this is one of those situations where you can say a willow looks like a willow.
Sure.
You know? They have that certain appeal. Their twigs are always very yellow. Their leaves, most of the time, are like long and very lanceolate. This is no exception. They get about maybe 3 inches long, but they are on that pendulous twig, right?
Yes.
But then they themselves are also pendulous. So it's just like you have this long yellow twig that comes down with this like this little lance head coming off, and then this lance head over there, because they're alternately arranged down the twig, and it's just whoosh, 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 almost like these long scales.
This is interesting, because I feel like, is this a common thing among weeping trees? Like, I'm thinking of, like, the western hemlock, Casey.
Yeah.
Where the branch, or the stem, or the twig itself is weeping, not, like, just the not just the leaves or the needles, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's necessarily common because some hemlocks and other different kinds of trees will have a twig that is going down or weeping for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes the needles will come out flat or the leaves will come out flat so that they can be at the correct angle sure. for the sunshine.
Uh-huh.
The twig goes down, leaves come out flat. In this case, the leaves also just go straight down.
Okay.
So they grow just as pendulously as the twigs.
Is this a shade intolerant tree?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think it's probably more on the shade intolerant side.
Okay.
But you can find them growing in like these weird dense kind of riparian habitats. That's mm-hmm. their favorite place to grow.
Okay.
Right next to a stream.
Yeah, I'm imagining like walking underneath one and it yeah. being kind of like hollowed out in a way.
Yeah, I think that does happen. So that would lead you to believe.
Yeah.
But I really am just not quite sure. I haven't seen anything that said one way or another.
Cool.
And I know that they do grow in like these dense areas. So it might be that when they're young, they're more shade tolerant. When they're older, they're less shade tolerant.
Sure, that would make sense.
But either way, when you do go underneath that that kind of like cathedral-like thing, uh-huh. isn't that great?
Oh, it's the best. And the lights coming through.
Yeah.
It's like a holy experience. My favorite example of that was we had a... growing up in my backyard,
mm-hmm.
we had a Japanese maple
yep.
that was pretty big. And we could all, I mean, I was a small child, but we could all like go sit underneath it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like, it was our little fort. Imagine.
It's I know exactly the kind of tree where it also has like those really contorted, twisted limbs
yeah.
growing up. Yeah, man.
Now I'm wondering if my dad pruned it that way or whatever, but
it's very likely, yeah. Where it like would be pruned and cleaned out, but the trees like kind of grow up that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's another weeping species most of the time of Japanese maples, where they grow up and they do the same exact thing where those big main twigs that turn into the main stems
yeah.
are kind of twisted and contorted, and then the ones that are on top grow out like a big kind of bowl cut kind of shape.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. So you can shape those and make them a little bit more interesting or have a certain kind of effect. So it's very likely your dad or whoever had the house before, because it sounds like it was a little bit older than that.
Sure.
Very likely did that.
Very cool.
So the leaves are little tiny serrated blades, is essentially what they look like. So lanceolate means it's lance-like in a
right.
lance, like a spear. It's a very sharp but long kind of tip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, exactly what these look like.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of, you know what? Whenever we've said lanceolate, I think, yeah, like a lance. But in my head, I'm always thinking of a spear.
Yeah.
Not a lance.
Oh.
A lance is like...
Yeah, you're making like a spade or like a triangle.
Yeah, like a swooping
curve.
Triangle. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So why aren't these called spear-like?
That's a good question.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We got more things to talk about.
Can you tell? Okay.
So they're dioecious, Alex.
Ah, two houses.
Exactly.
Which means that one tree mm-hmm. will contain both male and female. No,
opposite,
actually.
Yes.
Well, I was giving an example of a false fact. If you would let me finish.
Wow, Alex, I'm so sorry.
It means that each tree only has either male parts or female parts.
Correct, yeah. Well, yeah, they have these, each one grows a little catkin.
Hmm.
And are you familiar with the term pussy willow?
Of course.
Where they have those little puffy things?
Spooked me there.
Sorry, yeah.
I wasn't sure what you were going to say.
Are you familiar with the term? No, Alex, lust was last week. Today, we're just laying here, just taking it easy.
I am familiar with pussy willow. It's like a plant, though. It's not so much
yes.
a tree.
Well, it is. It's essentially, it's just willows. Willows have these catkins that are very fuzzy looking.
Mm-hmm.
And those catkins, as they grow, they become the flowers. But they have like these, they're covered in hairs, and then they expand a little bit. And then the stamens come out on the males, or the pistils come out on the females.
Okay, so those little buds, those little fuzzy buds,
yeah.
are the flowers.
Exactly. They're essentially the pre-flower buds before everything really starts going in spring.
Cool.
So that is what each one of these will have. And they just look like these funny little catkins that just kind of come out and then just go pa 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 and release whatever they do or they capture whatever is out there. And then they kind of fall away. And then you just have this long, gorgeous tree that just looks like a bunch of leaves just out in the middle of nowhere.
I love it.
For whatever reason, we have this confused with another very intensely weeping species.
What?
That we brought up earlier.
This is outrageous.
This is. It gets more outrageous.
What is the other species the that other we confuse
one,
this with?
We call it the golden weeping willow or the white willow, which is Salix alba tristis, the one we introduced at the very, very beginning.
Yes, sad and white.
Exactly.
Not unlike your gracious host.
Wow, this is what Alex deals with. Yeah, we just call him Salix Alex. So this is the one that you are probably more familiar with if you live not in Alabama, but say Massachusetts or Oregon.
Okay.
Now, the difference between them is hard to say at best.
Oh, wow.
And I, as most of you know, and if you don't, I will continually remind you, am writing a tree identification book. And I talked to some of my friends at Hoyt Arboretum, Mandy too. She's a curator over there. I went up to her and I said, "Hey, Mandy, I'm going to be doing this book. I have two questions that I'd love to like run by you. One is the larches, but the other question that I had was the willows.
Right.
So I was like, "Hey, Mandy, what exactly do you use to tell apart willows?" And point blank, just flat out, she said, "Don't even go there."
Oh, wow, Mandy.
It's not like I was offending her. She's just like, I can't figure them out. And she's good at her job. She's a taxonomist.
Yes.
So when she's like, "If I can't figure it out, then it's just an absolute mess."
Okay.
And like the very technical, like teeny tiny botanical things that tell things apart, going back into records in herbaria from all over the world, like that's what Mandy does.
Mm.
And Mandy, along with hundreds of other people who have tried in the past, are basically like throwing their hands up saying, there's no way to tell these things apart.
Okay.
Like they interbreed, they've been hybridized, and we're not really sure, except for Salix babylonica, the famous weeping willow that sounds very biblical and amazing. That one is not very hardy.
Oh.
It will only go down to maybe zone 6, which is a little bit lower than what we have here. And that's like the USDA zone. So essentially, each one goes down zone 8, 7, 6, 5, goes down essentially 10 degrees.
So not even Mandy can tell these things apart.
Exactly.
And you know what? I've got a great way to tell these apart.
What?
The babylonica
is
different from triste,
okay,
tristis,
mm-hmm,
because they have different names.
Wow.
And I think that is as far as we can take that it for this episode.
That is as far as you can. I think that is very fair. Now, the reason though, Alex, I think that's fair, but not necessarily going to be the most accurate thing, is that there's another option people are thinking about. And that is this very complicated like hybridization situation that's gone on.
Hmm.
So some people think that this is, in fact, a hybrid between Salix alba and this weird cultivar, Salix babylonica, that initially came from actually China, but was brought over on the Silk Road and different trading routes over time immemorial, because it's this big, gorgeous, beautiful tree.
Yeah.
It quickly decided, I'm going to grow all over the place next to all these beautiful streams throughout the Levant, the Middle East, probably through India, all over the place. So they ended up growing down in what we call today the Middle East, then got sent up in the 1700s to Linnaeus, who then said, it's from Babylon. We're going to call this Babylonica. When it's not really technically from there to begin with. It's the same thing we've had with all the fruit trees that ever been cultivated, except this is not a fruit tree. Yet it has been brought over and grown and naturalized all over the world by this point, but specifically in like Eurasia. And so it ended up getting hybridized with another native European species, the alba.
Okay. Salix alba?
Salix alba.
That's the European lover.
Yeah, the European tristis, the one that we call the golden weeping willow.
Okay.
So it's very likely that both of those hybridized, and we just don't know which one is which at any given point anywhere.
Just a big soup.
It's just a big soup. Cool. And so most people I've read have said that it's now Salix cross sepulchralis variety Chrysocoma.
What the fuck?
I know. Literally on my favorite website, the trees or the landscape plants at Oregon State.
Yes, yeah.
There's a synonyms list, and it says Salix alba vitellia pendula, Salix sepulchralis, Salix sepulchralis variety Chrysocoma, plus others. So he just says,
wow.
And, you know, whatever. I don't care anymore.
There's probably some other ones out there.
It's a wild thing. And like there is a bunch of people who've gone through this. There's another species that we call Salix matsudana tortulosa.
Mm.
And that is the corkscrew willow. You've probably seen that before as well. Mm,
probably.
If I went out and showed you, you'd be like, oh yeah, I've seen that.
What was it called?
It's called Salix matsudana tortulosa.
Wow, what a great name.
Isn't it an awesome name?
Hell yeah.
And that is just, it's the corkscrew willow.
Okay.
And they're also thinking that's actually the same species as all these other ones. It just happens to be that it just has some other weird thing that makes its leaves and its twigs twist and go corkscrew.
Very interesting.
So to say the least, the science is still out. And like no one is really sure. And then they always hybridize with other things as well. So the willows are just, I'm just got to throw my hands up.
You know what I'll say? Willows are aggressively on brand. And here's what I mean by that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
If willows had a brand, it would be mess, right?
It would just be mess.
Because their growth is just a mess.
Then the way they
like,
apart.
Yeah, exactly. They fall apart at the slightest wind. They're like, I don't care. Yeah. They're just like living in a disgusting apartment and they're fine with it. Hey, sloth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then even down to their naming, it's just like, what are you doing? This is crazy.
It's insane.
They just attract untidiness.
Yeah.
Disorganization.
I think you are spot on.
Which you gotta respect.
You gotta respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sin-like.
That's right. It's very stemful.
It's very stemful. Well, I love that is where you went with this because I specifically chose to do the weeping willow for sloth because its stems grow straight down, which I think we can interpret as pretty damn lazy.
Totally.
I would normally expect a tree to grow up and with its head up to the sky, accomplishing height and growth every year, constantly making itself a little bit better. But instead, the weeping willow is just fine to not get up in the morning and just kind of hang out.
It was like phototropism. no, I'd rather sleep in. Thanks.
Mm, yeah, whatever. Which is, I think it's funny that you also did that because every now and then when I'm doing these things and I'm like, you know what? I want to see what the internet thinks about something. And I just ask the kind of question of the episode. So I asked the internet, why are some trees weeping? And sometimes I get the answer for it's a disease, which is kind of not really a disease. It's just an infection by bacteria in a union. And it is what we call slime flux.
Wow.
And a lot of people have seen this in willows, especially willows, actually, ironically or coincidentally.
Okay.
But it happens in lots of different species. And it's just essentially, it looks like this little kind of bubbling foam that comes out of like a union. And then it just kind of weeps down and looks kind of gross.
I've totally seen this.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is this? It's basically a bacterial infection inside of like a union that's very tight and kind of like doesn't have any air or anything like that.
Yeah, so
like perfect conditions
for it.
It's
like a skin infection or something.
Yeah, exactly.
On a dog that has like mats.
Yeah, and because it doesn't do anything, so far as we know, to like affect the wood. It's not a decay organism. It just kind of looks a little rough. I think it also has to do with maybe there's a bit of a wound happening, so there's some sap that kind of comes out, so then certain bacteria and fungus will get on the sap and start to metabolize it, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So it's kind of one of those things, it's like, slime flux, and you just kind of move on.
Slime flux.
Yeah, so
I gotta ask my doctor about that.
Yeah, please do. Yeah,
explains a few things.
If you have slime flux, talk to your doctor.
If you were weeping sap out of your union.
Yes, do talk to your doctor. So it turns out that is one thing that the internet thinks whenever you say, why is my tree weeping?
Okay.
The other thing, the very first thing that popped up is by the Worcester Telegram. The very first thing came up, and Google is trying to do all the AI stuff, so it gives you the answer like right at the top.
Sure.
And it says, why do some trees weep? Because they want to grow down. Instead of reaching for the sky, as most trees do, young stems of weeping trees toy only briefly with upward growth before arching gracefully earthward.
That's such a good spin.
Isn't that so good?
I toyed briefly with upward growth.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like a tree. It's like, I'm just not into upward growth.
Yeah.
So I think I'm actually just going to go hang out down here.
I may start using that one when people ask me why I don't have a real job.
Yeah, well, I'm just toying with entrepreneurialism.
I toyed with upward growth, but
yeah, which I as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because it's essentially saying, some trees are lazy. They just, instead of upward growth and moving our economy forward, this tree is just sitting in the swamp like a jackass.
In theory, Casey, a weeping willow could get just as much sunlight.
Yeah.
Growing upward as it could in a weeping pattern.
You would think so, but it's also not quite accurate because if there's other trees around, mm-hmm. if those trees are growing up and you're growing down, you're going to get shaded out.
Sure.
So it's,
these don't seem like trees that grow like understory trees or have to compete all that hard. I think they're too lazy.
I think that's pretty fair, but that also to me makes them more shade tolerant.
Uh-huh.
Because if they can survive in an area where all the other trees are trying to outcompete them in height, yet they are outcompeting them in like wide downward growth, kind of seems like they must have an ability to like succeed that way.
For sure.
But also, it's a weird tree in that they're not native anywhere except for potentially way over there in China. They can't find the initial like original kind of population.
Wow,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those weird situations that you come across where the name of the tree is not really representative of where the tree came from. Because it's been a part of human culture and travel for thousands of years, if we can say genetically, it's really similar to all these trees that are growing over here, but none of them look like that. Conceivably, this is just some weird, strange variety, this weird mutation that happened. Someone saw it, of course, over in that area. They were all about finding interesting plants. We already know that willows have had huge medicinal purposes throughout an entire history of us knowing what to do with plants. So it's very likely that this became a beautiful tree, but also it has certain medicinal effects. And so these trees get taken with us. And then it's a willow, so it's really good at hybridizing and just living wherever it lives. So it's one of those like weird stories of a tree that has just come along with us.
Yeah.
And then
it's almost like domesticated.
Yes, exactly. And I've seen it like in Massachusetts when I was over there going to school. There was one or two big ones growing in what is just kind of a swampy forested area, kind of between the college and the highway. And it's not native to Massachusetts. It's not native in anywhere in the United States.
Yeah.
So I was like, why? How did that get there? It must have been planted very likely by somebody who brought it over, planted it next to their homestead. The tree continues to live for 200 years after the homestead is long gone away and it's now turned into essentially highway department land that's, you know, in conservation easement for them to actually build the highway itself. So it's this weird tree that is everywhere. Domesticated, I think, is a perfect example, Alex. And I don't understand, Alex, how they continue to live and thrive with this, like, what seems to be a bad mutation. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would
Casey,
do that.
Let me explain this to you.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Give me this song.
I love when you ask a genuine question because I can take a stab at it. I might be right. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? Because I don't know, I just have to be like, well, sounds good to me.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so here's how I see the weeping willow.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, dogs are initially were a domesticated form of like canine, like wolves.
Yes,
right? Lupine animals.
Yeah.
What a fucking. I
adore that. Yeah. Lupus is what you're looking for. Lupine also is a plant.
Oh, okay.
But I do like that as a description of a lupus.
Yeah, lupine is, animal.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, and a wolf. I think it's like the only one, too. Yeah. we love these guys.
Uh-huh.
Bring them on in. Except, you know, I don't want them to have like big gnashing teeth.
Yeah, I don't want the mean ones.
Totally, and a thirst for blood, and defensive aggression. So let's make like, you know, a pug, right? pugs are just like just on the verge of extinction at all times. They should not exist. Their bodies make no sense. They can't breathe, and it's not like they have some sort of like common illness. That's just the way their noses are.
True.
They're gonna fucking snore to death if you let them. So pugs make no sense.
Snore to death.
But we love them. Pugs are adorable. They're so sweet.
Pugs.
We saw a pug the other day who had a perpetually stuck out tongue, and it was so cute. So I think Casey, willows, especially the weeping willow. It's like a tree that doesn't make sense. It shouldn't exist. Why does it grow this way? Why is it like this? Where did it come from? I think it's just one of those things where it's like the dude. It's just like kind of rolling through, doing its own thing.
Oh,
and
I see.
Because I don't have an answer for this, obviously, I'm going to say this is one of the ultimate, that's just the way it grows, man. And I mean that both like literally, geez, you know, and like spiritually. Like,
all right.
I don't think we need to be asking these questions.
Okay. I see this. I like this. You're just like, you know what? Stop worrying about it and just accept it and
just
love
enjoy it. Yeah.
I think that's very fair. And why I think that's very fair is that consistently over the time that I have been, talking about trees. And I'd like say join a frisbee team, join a new league in a new city, and everyone would do a circle and say, "Hey, what's your name?" So let's say someone kind of waffles and like, "Well, say something about yourself," and I'm usually like, "What's your favorite tree?" So everyone goes around a circle and says, you know, their name and their favorite tree.
Sure.
It helps you remember them, right?
Yeah. It's
supposed to.
That's how you see people, right?
Well, yes. So really, it's just my means where I'm just like, hey, Douglas fir guy, go over there, run.
My name is Mike.
Yeah, whatever, Mike. I think that over the course of all the times that I've ever in any way asked someone or they offered or how I figured out what their favorite tree was, I think if I was to tally them all up, more people have said the weeping willow.
Wow.
Or just willows, with my brain thinking, you're talking about the weeping willow. I know that.
Sure.
I am sure that that is the most common favorite tree that I've run into. I don't want to say that everyone else in the world is going to agree with this, but I like that you say that, where you're just like, just stop worrying about it. I love the way it grows, and I just want to continue loving it.
I think the fact that it's like in the top of maybe number one favorite tree from your experience of other people, I think that is a real success of marketing.
You think so?
I mean, we have grandmother willow. That was huge. We have the whomping willow.
That's right. That's a Harry Potter one, isn't
it? Right, yeah. Which I don't think is, I don't know what species that is, but.
Honestly, neither do we. It's either Babylonica or Alba. Nobody knows.
Sure. But I'm sure if we go back and look through folklore and mythology,
oh yeah,
willows are like primo metaphor tree.
Oh yeah,
you know,
like it was the famous like weeping willows of the Bible or something. There's a story where it's actually a different species, but everyone's thought it was the willow because that's how it was translated.
Sure.
So yeah, I you're totally right, dude.
It's just one of the trees that people who don't know anything about trees know.
Yes. Yes, that is totally it, because it's the laziest tree.
Yeah, just sneaks in there. They're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. It looks cool. Look at that beautiful weeping willow. Like, it does. It captures your attention. I suppose you're right.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you know, actually, one thing that it is not lazy about is springtime. It is the first, I think.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say, in my experience here in the Portland metro region, the first tree to like fully leaf out. It's before everything. It's also, which I think is lazy, the last to drop its leaves in the fall.
Here's how I see this. It's like, I'm just going to get it over with so I can relax all spring.
That's, yeah, okay. So it is lazy.
And then the due date to drop your leaves comes around and you're like, oh shit, geez. I'll just wait till I'll wait till the last second. I usually do it tomorrow.
And then tomorrow is a freeze and it's like, okay. Yeah. You know what? That's fair. So this is, in my opinion, it is the definition of a slothful tree.
I love it, Case.
And I'm sorry if anyone disagrees with me.
Well, hey, that's just the way it grows, man.
It's just the way it grows.
That was our weeping willow, a sad tale. We have to give a rating to this tree, Casey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we were doing some sort of fun. I think we were actually just doing golden cones.
I think we did golden cones.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we got to do that after a break. We'll be right back with our review of the weeping willow here on Completely Arbitrary.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Oh, sorry.
Are we recording?
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary.
Did you press record?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh my God.
I record through the breaks.
You do?
I do. How about that?
Nice.
A little behind the scenes there. That was our discussion of the Weeping Willow. Casey, it's time to give this tree a rating.
I'm ready.
Of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Mm-hmm. As our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
Incredible. Thank you. Right. So this is an iconic tree. Mm. Everyone loves it. It's wonderful. It is very commonly found just about anywhere you go. You can find some thing that looks like a weeping willow that you call a weeping willow that you are not incorrect in calling a weeping willow, whether or not it's a hybrid or species A or B or something.
Sure.
They are everywhere. So I dig it. I dig these trees. I dig finding them in like front yards or something because they create this nice like dome cathedral like thing. And I think they can look really good.
Beautiful.
I know of a few around town. In fact, actually, just recently, a heritage tree just completely ripped itself apart in an ice storm. So that's one of the things that is simultaneously a notch against and for this tree is its ability to fall apart and just continually grow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand it. But I saw one in Portland on one of the roads in one of my tree walks that I've done. It is completely hollow. Like, there is just a few bits of bark and wood on the very outside of, like, two or three little weird things that then pop up to one or two little twig branches that come out and then cascade around it. So you don't even know until you walk underneath. And then you're like, oh, my God. This
just
tree
keeps on growing.
Just doesn't exist. So I think that's really cool about this tree.
This tree doesn't exist. This tree doesn't exist.
Interesting. It's a very existential moment, you know? So that is what I think is great about this tree. However, I also don't really have the same love that everyone else has for it.
Mm.
Like, I think they're fine, but I have to say, I feel like they're so basic.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, oh, weeping willow, that's your favorite tree. name a second tree. You know?
It's you love trees? Name every tree.
Name every tree.
Yeah.
In alphabetical order.
I get that. I get that completely, Case.
Yeah. So I think they're great. I think they're a little bit overdone, I think, in the world. And I think that's fine. You know, everyone can have their thing. I think their other trees are probably overdone as well. I dig them. I think they're okay. 6.5.
All right.
Straight up. Great. It's like, I'm going to give you a thumbs up. If you fall apart, I'm going to give you the same thumbs up.
Totally.
And I'm going to move on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 6.5 golden cones of honor.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. The Weeping Willow. Here we are. We've made it. Holy shit.
What do you think?
So I agree with you that, okay, let me say something and then I'm going to.
Is this like a disclaimer of some sort?
Kind of.
Okay.
I'm going to say something and then I'm going to attribute it as a quote. The Weeping Willow is pretty basic and overdone and too popular to be appealing. Now, that quote comes from, theoretically, Alex from like the year 2005.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we are so far past.
I'm going to make up a quote and then I'm going to attribute it.
I think we're so far past the Weeping Willow being like mega popular.
Yeah.
Like where it ascends like arborism.
Really?
It's just like a cultural thing, you know, that it's actually kind of cool again.
No way. You're saying that we've come back around on that like fashion of cycle?
I think so.
Cycle of fashion.
It's like how Eddie Bauer braided belts are in right now. I'm like, my dad wore those in the 90s.
Are you kidding me? That's a thing again?
I'm wearing one right now, Casey.
Oh my God. Careful now.
So I actually think they're kind of cool.
Are you saying they're in, Alex, just because you're wearing one?
What? Right now? No. Hmm. Okay. You know what else is in? Camouflage baseball caps and green Carhartt jackets.
And podcasts about trees. And
Between the Buried and Me t-shirts. I actually think they're kind of cool, Casey.
It's going back around
I
again.
Think so.
Wow, so if we did this 3 years ago, you'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah, maybe I could have been a trendsetter and been like, you know what, actually, those are pretty sweet trees.
Go home.
But I also, okay, now here's the things I love about it as a tree.
Okay.
I love the resilience of a willow. Mm-hmm. It's iconic.
It is.
It's like one of its like three things.
We have a whole sticker line completely dedicated to their resilience.
New roots, new shoots.
Exactly.
Very
right.
Early on saying that we had on this podcast came from willows. I love the look, I'm sorry, of a weeping willow. They're beautiful.
Fair. That's fine. They are. Qualms.
If you see one kind of like growing on a little, like next to a stream or a little river, lake or whatever, and it's got, its leaves are coming down and they're like touching the water and they're kind of like moving with the water.
Yeah.
Ah.
There is a photo I saw on the internet that clearly was captured like when a big gust of wind came.
Oh.
And it looks very much like someone whose hair just got blown back.
Totally.
In the breeze.
Very Fabio-esque.
It is. Yeah, it totally is.
The Weeping Willow for me gets a very strong 7.5.
7.5?
Yep. Seven and a half is like
a full point ahead.
You know, if like Roger Ebert gave something like a 3.25, you kind of knew what it meant. It wasn't just a rating. You're like, oh, he feels this way about that.
Yeah, the quarter comes from somewhere.
Right. 7.5 is like my really solid, but not in the upper echelon.
I see. All right. Yeah. I'll take that. I think that's fair. I think mine is like kind of solid, not in the upper echelon.
Yeah.
I think we're in agreement.
It's an inflection thing.
It is, yeah.
Mine
is
a positive spin, yours a negative spin.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly right. Wow, we're good. There's so much more to the story of these ratings.
That's
right. There's a whole undercurrent, and it's very complicated.
Make sure you mention that when you write us in for a Webby Award, everyone.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for doing that, by the way. We're just really happy.
That was our review of The Weeping Willow. Wow, Casey.
So sloth-like, so lazy.
It is time, Casey, for a completely arbitrary AMA. This week, we've got a fun one. Uh-oh, here comes a fun one.
Uh-oh,
here comes a troublemaker. This is from Gus by way of Gus's parent, Felicia.
Oh, well, hello, Gus. Hello, Felicia.
Gus is a 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Gus and Felicia listen to our podcast all the time. Hopefully, not that last episode.
Yeah, sorry about that, Felicia.
I actually made a creative decision to not bleep out all of the curse words in that one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that you had ever bleeped a single word out mm-hmm. in our podcast.
So, he asked me to email you this question, says Felicia.
Okay.
What would be the first tree you would climb if you could climb any tree in the world?
What a great question.
Thank you, Felicia, and thank you, Gus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gus. Great, great question.
Gus. Casey, let's pretend that you recently got into trees. You think mm-hmm. they're kind of cool. And you see people climbing trees, and you're like, oh, man, that looks kind of fun.
Yeah.
What is the first tree that you would climb? Okay. This is your very first tree.
Very first tree. Well, I am no slouch. And I wouldn't say, okay, let's start small. Mm-hmm. Let me just get my bearings. Let me see how it's
going
to work.
You're going for a coast redwood?
I'm going big. But it would be a giant, huge tree that is in the tropics. In fact, maybe something like a Brazil nut.
Okay.
I would choose that for a couple of different reasons. One, it's big and giant. Awesome. You got to get way up there, experience, you know, the massiveness that trees are.
Totally.
But the reason that I would do it specifically in the tropics for a tropical tree is that in the tropics, the canopy of a tree from like even 10 feet off the ground all the way up to the top is a giant vertically stratified ecosystem all in and of itself, where you can have an old branch wound that gets colonized by like 10 different species of orchids and bryophytes, I guess, but those are like mosses, bromeliads, that kind of thing. Like you could get a bunch of different weird species of plants that grow only on these big trees in this middle section only. Totally. They don't grow higher. They don't grow lower.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of those bromeliads could be a certain kind of frog that only grows and has its eggs in that species or in that kind of like ephemeral pool inside that.
Totally.
So that would be one side. You go to the other side of the tree and there's a whole different suite because that's the shaded side. Or that's just something else. So you do that and you go all the way up to the top and then you find other species of plants. You find a fig that's growing over in that section. You find something else over there. It's just this like menagerie of plant life and animals and insects and everything in the entire world. Not to mention you're 160 feet up across this giant thing and you can look out and you can see all the rest of the forest everywhere. You can see birds flying. You can hear monkeys over there.
Totally. Like,
that I think would be what would really set it off. So I would choose that one.
Amazing, Casey.
So I, just to give a sharper point to it, it would be a big old growth tropical tree. I would likely say a Brazil nut.
Brazil nut's great.
That's what I think.
You know, in the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring,
when
Frodo is reading a book in a tree
mm-hmm.
and he hears, roses of his day, down to the door where it began.
Is that Gandalf?
And he perks up and he goes, hey, Gandalf's here, my favorite buddy.
Yeah.
He's running over. So that tree that Frodo is sitting in,
uh-huh.
which I think is probably an oak tree.
Yeah, it's probably likely. They were very English, those folk.
Yep. That would be my tree of choice.
Easy as that.
about as high up as that too.
Which is enough that he could like it's a hobbit sized jump down.
See, that's the thing. It's probably like half a step up for me,
which is great.
Also, you know, he looks very cozy and he like fits that nook very well.
That is true.
He's also like 3.5 feet tall.
Yeah, so you'd have to get like, you know,
I don't know how well I would fare.
Yeah,
but,
you are nearly twice that size.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of height.
That's true.
Interesting.
So that would be my tree of choice. Now, Felicia, cover Gus's ears. Casey.
What?
You know, my real choice is that Coco de Mer.
How dare you?
Thank you, Felicia, and thank you, Gus. We appreciate your question. Hey, if you've got a question for us, join up and support the podcast. Become a Tremium member today. arbitrarypod.supercast.com. That's arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Got a few different options there. It's the best way to support the podcast.
It's a lot of fun.
And that's the news. Casey, clap.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
It's time to get slothful. In fact,
yeah, now it's time for naps. That's exactly right.
Oh, that'd be great. Hey, thank you everybody for listening to this STEMful episode.
Mm-hmm.
Completely Arbitrary. Next week, we've got another STEM for you.
That's right. Hope you're hungry.
Oh, wow, Casey. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. See you next week. Bye.
Ever.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.